Are you one of millions of Americans who are struggling and even in some cases suffering from peripheral neuropathy, painful, numbness, loss of balance, irritating, and sometimes debilitating? Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Byline Broadcast, and I want to introduce you to Christy Steiger and Andrew Steiger of Innovative Wellness Center of Iowa. I tried so many ways, painkillers, ibuprofen, gabapentin, so many different ways. All it did was treat the symptoms. It did nothing that even remotely attempted to reverse the effects of peripheral neuropathy. Chiropractors, countless doctor's appointments, all to no avail. Until I found Innovative Wellness and pain-free, absolutely painless shockwave therapy. Call today. Get online today. InnovativeWellness.Center of Iowa.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but hardly duplicated. Get this, I'm rolling up on 4 decades of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a 4-time Golden Glove champ, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. So I bring a unique combination of the answers. But guess what? I'm not the guys buying the pay-per-view, or are you buying the pay-per-views? And the reason why I keep asking this is that I'm not running into anybody, any boxing fans per se, that are buying the pay-per-views. They all shuck and jive with me about it. They go, it's like some of them are even taking the Fifth Amendment as far as stealing pay-per-views concerns. So the bottom line is, if everybody's stealing the pay-per-view, Daniel, who's paying for it? I mean, that's the question I ask. The bottom line is, the boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, would be, of course, this weekend's fights looking really hot. But last weekend, we got to look back, of course, to Teofimo Lopez. You know, he went 12 rounds with a guy that was very brave, and Steve Claggett from Scotland. Got to give Steve all kinds of credit. He took good shots, and he couldn't fight. He couldn't spell fight if you spell it, but if you put it on a piece of paper for him. But the bottom line is, he gave it his all. Of course, went 12 rounds. And I was a little, how can I put this? Uninspired by Teofimo Lopez. That seems to be the way he's been the last couple, 3 years. And of course, Juan Francisco Estrada surrendering the WBC 150-pound title, of course, to Jesse Bam Rodriguez. Where does he stand on the pay-per-view? The pound-for-pound list. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Back to that pay-per-view thing, though. Who's buying pay-per-view? Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming up after the break, boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
This report is sponsored by After School Alliance. A million people are rallying for after school as part of the 24th annual Lights On After School, organized by the After School Alliance. The event shines a light on the many ways after school programs engage children and youth by making learning fun and providing educational and enriching activities. After school programs are especially important as students recover from the pandemic, but funding shortfalls have left nearly 25 million kids without the after school programs their parents want for them. Quality after school programs keep kids safe, inspire them to learn, and give parents peace of mind. Alliance Executive Director, Jody Grant.
Every day, after-school programs across our country help students discover their talents, build their confidence, and foster their creativity through enrichment and academic supports. As we continue to recover from the pandemic, it's essential that many more students and families have access to these programs. This year, 8,000 Lights On after-school events will focus on the benefits after-school programs provide.
Visit www.afterschoolalliance.org to learn more about Lights On After School.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Check it. 12 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. My first words for boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, are Conor Benn? Question mark?
Conor Benn. Yeah, he seems to have won the golden ticket against the faded face of boxing, Canelo Alvarez. That's what's been reported. The question is it going to happen here or maybe across the pond?
No, it's here's what's up. I don't think he can fight in the UK. Right now he's sort of suspended, I think, for steroids or something like that. But this sounds to me like Canelo's going to take his act on the road. That's what I was thinking. Maybe he could pull something off in Europe or something like that and say, hey, guess what? I fought in Europe. This is sort of like, listen, old champions did this after they retired. They're called exhibitions.
So this would be, well, is it kind of, or wasn't it Eubank? I think it's Eubank as the guy. Then we're getting them confused. I think it's Eubank Jr. that's punched his the golden ticket. So I think there is a possibility. Look, I'm kind of tired of Vegas a little bit. I'll be honest with you. It's like the fights, I don't have any more personality anymore, you know? It's like, I think back in the day, you know, like the old open Caesar's Palace, and then, you know, certain fights that were on the road, like, of course, Ali fought the Rumble in the Jungle and the Thrill of Manila. Like, now, I think Floyd has kind of made Vegas stale, you know, over the years, and Canelo's kind of doing the same thing. So it would be nice if the fight happens in the UK. I mean, it would probably be the only way.
No. You know what? How can you say it'll be nice? Why should it be nice when there's other more deserving people who've been standing in line for 3 years? I always put it to guys like this. If you were standing in line at McDonald's and you went up and you were standing at the front of the line and the guy behind the counter just happened to be Canelo Alvarez, okay, and you say to him, guess what, man, I'd like a hamburger and fries. He says, no hamburger for you. Next! Okay? I mean, no. Within a minute, you'd be all pissed off. You'd be irate within a minute. This guy, David's been waiting 3 years. David Benavidez has been waiting 3 years. How long do you have to wait, man? And here's what's up. And the ability for this diva to pull this off if the WBC is backing him on this one, man, what can I say? They deserve all the negative heat that comes their way. Because there's absolutely no doubt about it. The Munguia fight was a fight of choice. He hasn't had a mandatory fight. Boxing is about fighting the best. He's not choosing to fight the best sock. He's fighting guys that have little or no chance. I don't want to say slim or no chance, but little or no chance. The guys that he's been fighting for the last five times. He fought a 45-year-old Triple G. I mean, I'm like at least a 50-year-old Triple G, maybe. Bottom line is, the Ryder, Charlo, Munguia. I mean, none of this stuff here. Listen, if I was a 25-year-old boxing fan just looking at fights, I would have to take about 1,000 milligrams of Viagra to get up for Canelo fighting these people.
The last time Canelo was in a fight that you thought he had a chance he could lose was probably the first Triple G fight.
How about Caleb Plant?
You knew Caleb was going to give an effort, but you didn't think he was going to win. I don't think anyone picked Caleb Plant to win. You know, and Caleb's a good fighter, but certainly not on that level, that A level.
You know, I'm going to say something that's going to probably irk some people, but Caleb is good for the game. He talks a good game. He's got the right complexion.
Hey, that doesn't hurt, and he's got street cred. I mean, if you're going to say something and he's within arm's length, he's going to slap the crap out of you. That's Jermell Charlo. He threw a beer at Ryan Garcia. He's about that life, like the kids say these days.
So Ryan Garcia accuses his wife three or four seats over of performing fellatio?
Is that the latest thing?
I mean, evidently that prompted the some Ryan going crazy on Twitter. Anyway, let's get the Ryan Garcia thing out of the way right now. What's up with King Rye?
Well, I mean, it all depends. You know, you got to look at your watch and look at your Twitter timeline, because you talk about someone that's like bird poop all over the place. He is, he's at the point that he's become an embarrassment to himself. And someone needs to sequester him, like, for 24 hours without his phone. I don't think he can come back from that.
It's the phone. Either it's the phone or cocaine or substance abuse, or he's a nut. It's one of the, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not going to blame the phone.
No, you can't blame the phone. It's the guy that's pulling the trigger, right? He is in a bad place right now. He really is. He has zero respect for anybody. He's got money. He's got enablers. And he's just a sad case right now.
The only one that matters there, though, is the money, because he can buy his way out of things unless he does something really, really stupid. And I mean, I don't think he's going to physically slap anybody or anything like that, but who knows? I mean, the guys, listen, when I dealt with Johnny Tapia, people didn't know this, okay, but when I dealt with Johnny Tapia, I never knew. I mean, Johnny and I could be together in a room, right? And like 15 minutes ago, I'm talking to him, man, everything's smooth, Pedro, man, and I was talking about the wife, the whole nine yards, right? And then 15 minutes later, I go over and interview him, and he's absolutely effing this and effing that and effing this, and he's going, yee, what happened? But some people just have split personalities. They really have more than one personality. And as a cop, I saw it too. But with Johnny Tapia, I really saw it. I mean, I saw lots of, he had like multiple personalities without a doubt. So what I'm trying to say is that Ryan Garcia, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not Freud or anything like that, but I don't think you need to be Freud to figure out he's got some psychological issues, major.
It's, yeah, I mean, and we know about the dependence on substance abuse. He's very open about it, you know,
I always thought that was a scam. I always thought that was a bit of a scam, covering up for the mental illness. Anyway, bottom line is, of course, now listen, my buddy Devin Haney is now undefeated again. Of course, they took away the loss that Ryan Garcia put upon him. Of course, he was down, I think, seven times in the fight, four times in one round alone. But yet the referee, what's his name again? Buck what?
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, bottom line is... The doc failed miserably, and what did Bernard Hopkins say? It was a brother pulling something for a brother. But at the end of the day, he's still exposed. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. I mean, Ryan Garcia, say what you want for him, take away the win from the whole nine yards. You really can't take away the fact that Haney was down seven times.
He was down seven times. I don't think anyone is ever going to say, hey, I don't want to fight Devin Haney. I think people, you know, are salivating to fight Devin Haney. Devin Haney's chin, which has always been questioned, was fully exposed. Now, yes, Ryan's a devastating puncher, and not a lot of guys crack like him, but if they're talking about Devin Haney going up in weight to 47, what's he going to, how is he going to be able to deal with that power if he's getting starched at 140, 140 plus? I agree. Devin Haney was exposed. He's made good money, and I think we might have seen a peak in Devin Haney.
No, but here, I mean, he's made a lot of money. Listen, personally, I think that he and his father have perpetrated the biggest con on the boxing public since Robert Redford and Paul Newman in the movie The Sting. I mean, think about this. They perpetrated that. He was a great fighter, this and that. He lost to Lomachenko. Everybody knows he lost to Lomachenko, maybe except for the judges and Haney and his father, okay? But the bottom line is, no. They said he was undisputed lightweight champion. Not really. He beat George Kambosos twice. And listen, George Kambosos is going to have a hard time getting in the Australian Hall of Fame, let alone any other Hall of Fame.
Yeah, sometimes it's about being in the right place at the right time. Devin Haney's father, you know, he played the system the way it's supposed to be, you know, the way it's supposed to be. He put his son in the best position. Was he ever considered the best lightweight in the world? No. You know, I always thought there was a little bit of an asterisk next to his world title. It's not his fault that Kambosos was the C-level guy that happened to hold these belts. And he did what he was supposed to do. I mean, he did what Teofimo Lopez couldn't do. You know, he beat up on a C-level guy. And like you said, you know, the Lomachenko fight, I think he got the benefit of the doubt. I think they gave the decision to the younger guy that the system could, you know, squeeze out more big fights as opposed to the old guy. And I think Devin Haney's done. I don't think he's ever going to recover from that type of beatdown he took.
Okay, here's what's up. I think Ryan Garcia is going to fight in Saudi Arabia.
I can see that happening. I don't think he'll ever fight in the United States. I think it's going to be really hard for a commission to put him on, at least for the next 2 years. Right? Because the suspension in New York is a year. And then after that, you have to question. People are going to get a lot of flack, you know, that they're going to continue to exploit this. So, you know, lack of a better word.
But, I mean, here's right what's now, up, though. How much of it is reality and how much of it is social media BS that he's putting on to get people to TikTok him?
I think there is some truth to that. You know, that I think he's a racist? No. I think he's just
Okay. Let's get on the racist thing now. He has something to say. Well, we're going to roll in the break in a minute, but let's get this racist thing out of the way. He said something negative about George Floyd, who got choked to death.
Yeah. He did say that, and then there was the guy that was on the platform with him had said, you know, I wish we could, you know, bring him back to life so I could put my knee in his neck. That's what the other guy that was on the show with him said. Yeah, I mean, look.
Here's what's up. Do you think we should just ban talking about Ryan Garcia, period, on the show, just forget him for the rest forever?
Well, the WBC just...
No, I'm talking about us as a group. We've been doing this together a long time. Do you think we're just try to not even bring up Ryan Garcia as far as news briefs are concerned, just like ignore him totally?
Unless he's in the boxing ring, I don't think there's a reason to bring him up.
Good point. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with Boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer after the break.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Check it, 27 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, this is the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming to you on Friday. Why? Don't worry about it. Bottom line is, this is the Saturday edition, of course. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome back to the show. Of course, we take it back to the Bronx. We're bringing the Bronx Warrior, the Bronx Bomber, call him what you want, the Bronx Bull. I'm talking about boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Sock, how's the weather back there?
The weather is pretty good. It's full effect. It's a humid day. It's about 88 degrees. It's definitely a good beach or pool day if you got one nearby.
Okay, it's 70 degrees out here. I just want to throw it at you. Of course, yesterday I was doing surveillance, the 4th of July, over in San Ramon, California, and it was 97 degrees. And you know what? And, of course, my AC was cool, so I didn't have a problem with that because I was sitting in the car watching somebody's house. But the bottom line is, man, I could see people walking down the street like and stopping and resting and this and that. I mean, this is how hot it was over there, 97 degrees. Anyway, a big difference, of course, from San Francisco. When I went back to home, it was 36 degrees lighter. 32 miles, 36 degrees.
Wow, that's...
All right. Let's get off the weather. Wow, I didn't know you were a meteorologist, but if you are, you know, you're practicing on your own. Anyway, William Cepeda, is he the best fighter fighting tonight?
William Cepeda is a really good fighter. I think he's probably the most exciting out of the lightweights. He throws a lot of punches. Typical Mexican. He's there to fight. And he's a crowd-pleasing guy.
Hey, Sock, guess what? This Skype thing's not working. They're going to call you back on the phone. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, last week, Jesse Bam Rodriguez, the world 112-pound champion, stepped up to 115 pounds and stopped a living legend, Juan Francisco Estrada, of course, a WBC champion for seemingly years, decades maybe. But the bottom line is his end came at the age of 34 years old last Saturday night. Of course, Bam Rodriguez coming in at 24 years old. Of course, he is the young tiger on the young tiger. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Jesse is the real guy. I mean, he's now, I think he's 20-0 with 14 whacks. And at the end of the day, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he is the superior fighter at 115. Now, he used to be at 112. Now, can he step up to 118 or 122? Of course, 122 pounds is a fight we really want to see because we want to see Nenoa Inoue challenged by somebody. Guess what? Socrates Palmer can't make 122, but maybe in the future, Bam Bam Rodriguez can make 22. Possibly?
I think so. Look, right now he's at 115, right? And Bam Rodriguez is
But he's
under,
a starving. Don't take this the wrong way, but he's starving at 115. You know where he's starving.
Of course he is. I mean, there's no possible way that a young man that age is making that weight comfortable. He's 23 years old. His body's only getting bigger. I believe that he should be fighting at 118 next. I don't think there's anything to prove at 115 anymore.
You can't make a really time out, fight. Time out, time out. Are you trying to tell me that you can't make 115?
I'd have to cut off a couple of limbs, you know. I don't think I'd be useful.
Okay, you know? We're not going to get into limbs you're going to cut off, but the bottom line is, I guess you can't make 115. But let's go back to Cepeda for a second, okay? William Cepeda, he's exciting. I mean, he throws.
Yeah, man, he's must-watch. You know, the guy, first of all, a fight fan wants to see an honest effort, and William Cepeda does that right off the rip. You know, he comes to fight, he's 30-0, 26 knockouts. He throws punches in bunches. You know, he stopped a pretty durable guy last time out in Maxie Hughes. Giovanni Cabrera, solid fighter, but he's kind of tailor-made for him, you know. And if anyone wants to see an exciting 12 rounds, as long as it lasts, you got to watch William Cepeda in the Toyota Arena in Ontario.
You know, I just got a text here. It says, I can't say, I know. Anyway, bottom line, let's stick to Cepeda here for a second. They want to go on off on a different tangent. Where's the Pitbull stand right now? Isaac Cruz. I mean, he's coming off a great win. He's looked really good of late, even in his losing effort against Gervonta Davis, who was formidable when he went to distance. I mean, is he the sleeper?
He is. You know, look, that's another guy. He kind of fights to the level of the competition, and if you kind of look at that, you know, he's had, like you said, the Tank Davis fight. You know, he fought. You know, he pushed Tank to the brink. Then he had a couple of lulls in between, and then he beat the snot out of our buddy Rolly Romero. So, you know, I think the problem with him, I don't think he's a really 140. You know, I think he'll be best if he can get back down to 35. And that's a clash that I would love to see. Cepeda and Pitbull, woo! That's get your popcorn.
You know, remember I was of the opinion that Isaac was maybe an overinflated 130 pounder. I mean, here's what's up. I shouldn't be talking smack about guys cutting weight either. I mean, you know, but the bottom line is, he just looks like he's got a frame that can maybe make 130 pounds with a dietitian. Listen, I mean, guys are cutting weight like unbelievable amounts of weight. And they're telling me they're cutting weight 15 to 20 pounds in the last week and things like that. I couldn't imagine doing that in my era, bro.
I mean, look, the fighters that do that really leave a lot in the gym. You know, you leave a lot in the sauna, however you're doing it. Just that water weight, and then you wonder why is it that their performances are kind of flat. Guys have to have discipline. You know, I mean, you can say anything you want about Bernard Hopkins, but the guy pretty much fought at 160 his entire career.
Yeah.
You know, until the big money fights.
Yep.
You know, these guys that jump up in weight, you know, just vicariously because they don't want to make the effort anymore, in my opinion.
all that money Bernard Hopkins made, and he wouldn't tip a waitress. I told you that one, right?
No, I don't know about that one.
Check this out. We're at the Riviera Hotel. I think he's going to fight Antoine Echols. Me and Bernard used to be real tight. In fact, I got one of the hand wraps from the Trinidad fight. So anyway, we're sitting at the buffet, and I get this lady to give us this exclusive service because the buffet, the waitress in the buffet just brings you a soda or a drink or something like that, and that's it. She don't bring you no food. You serve yourself. So I had her serve Bernard and the whole nine yards. So I said, hey, Bernard, it's time to tip her. Let's leave her $25. And he looked at me and goes, man, she's making money. I ain't tipping her. She's making money. So I had to throw down $25. So I threw down that $25. That enables me to talk smack about Bernard for the rest of his life.
There's a lot of guys that are cheap when it comes to tipping. Michael
but here's
Jordan
what's up. I mean, I want to shout out to all the brown people and the black folks out there and the people of color. You make me look bad. You make me get horrible service sometimes at restaurants because of the fact they think, oh, man, this Latino or this Puerto Rican, I know it's stereotypical, but they're not going to tip me. That's just what I mean. So please, tip. Tipping is not a city in China.
You know what, brother? I co-sign that, yes. It's like that little silent look. They look at you like, oh, gosh. You know, like they expect you to, you know, to be cheap on the tip. But you're right. I definitely appreciate good service, and I don't have a problem tipping.
Okay, so we talked about Devin Haney earlier. Evidently, he is a basket case as far as boxing is concerned. He says he's emotionally, mentally, and physically unfit to fight Sandor Martin. Thus, Sandor Martin's going to hook it up with Alberto Pollo. Sandor got a chance there?
Sure. I mean, he fights. You only fight a guy like Sandor Martin unless you have to. You know, he's like that Corey Spinks. You know, like a stinker. He's not going to really engage you. He's got good footwork. And he's got a jab that's going to make you cautious. Look how bad he made Teofimo Lopez look. About 2 years ago. Right. So.
Yeah. Wrapping things up, you brought up Corey Spinks. I went to St. Louis to do a thing with a camera crew, and we're going to do something called Corey Spinks from the mean streets of East St. Louis, right? So I took a camera crew in East St. Louis. I saw some brothers and said, these guys look like stone cold gangsters. Let's go around the block and get some pictures of these guys, right? So I went around the block. You know what the brothers did to me? They pulled out guns.
Whoa.
Exactly. Three of them pulled out guns. And you know what Don King told me? Don't bring your silly ass to East St. Louis, Pedro. Don't go. Those brothers, they're going to get, he didn't use the brother's word. They're going to get you, Pedro. Don't go there. And I couldn't wait to go there, but he was right when I got there.
Wow. Damn. I guess lesson learned.
Yeah, exactly. Millionaire mansions on the mountainsides abandoned in East St. Louis. Anyway, have a good week. We'll talk real soon, my brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you having me on, as always.
Boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer on Sports Byline.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
How would you like to go on a 5-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for 3 fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a 3-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156. Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline ticket, tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call Skywatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Some people can see farther than others. So therefore, when people judge what I'm doing with their logic, it can't be done. Their reasoning says it can't or shouldn't be done. Their knowledge of history says it can't be done. So their reasoning, their knowledge, and their logic, it clashes with their mentality, which is down here and I'm up there. So by me being so high, I can see more and see farther than you. And you're looking up at me saying, Ali, don't do it. Ali, please stop me, it hurts.
But you know why they say that? I mean, it's for the because best possible reasons, though.
They have fear and they are wary. It looks dangerous to them.
That's
but
right.
It's not really that dangerous to me.
Yeah. And it's the
just another day.
And it's the affection they have for you. They've never felt about another boxer like they felt about you.
Oh, it is so nice.
You could tell he was slipping a bit at that point. Talk about Muhammad Ali, of course. I figured that was about 1979 or 1980 with David Frost. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Well, let's celebrate some fighters, of course, in the month of July. How about Alexis Arguello? 77 and 8, of course, 62 KOs. He passed away, I think, in July. And, of course, he came, but his birthday was in July. But the bottom line is, I think he would have been 73 years old. So the bottom line is, I really miss him. No doubt about that. 77 and 8, of course. It'll always be controversial as to whether and how he died. Of course, I was going to go down to Nicaragua and try to investigate this. At one point in time, I was the number one investigative reporter as far as the oh man, I can't believe it. I can't believe that I got interrupted right in the middle of the show just by the phone. And I turned it off. Anyway, thank you much, Vive Lady. Bottom line is, back to Alexis Arguello, of course, murdered in 2009 or suicide. Which one was it? Nobody really wants to know. Of course, I was going to go down there as an investigative reporter. At one point in time, I was a guy in boxing. I was the guy that Harold Letterman said, you are the number one investigative reporter in all of boxing, Pedro. You beat the New York papers, everybody. Yeah, at that one point in time, I did. Of course, I was writing for Boxing Newsletter, Flash Magazine. And then after Arguello died, people said to me, you're the guy to go down to Nicaragua because you've been there before with Alexis. And you're the one to go down there and get to the bottom of it. I don't know. Because the bottom line is, if the government killed him, and I think that there's a good chance the government killed him, you think they're not going to kill me if I go to town? Anyway, may he rest in peace. Talk about the great Alexis Arguello. Of course, his last big fight against Aaron Pryor, that second fight, man, that was really, really bad. 1983, of course, he fought in 1982. I believe he was cheated out of the World 140-pound Championship when Aaron Pryor wrapped his hands with plaster of Paris wraps. And, of course, took the stuffing out of the gloves, and then he had the special bottle, a special mix, a whole nine yards. Aaron Pryor is a piece of work. Another guy that's got to celebrate this month, of course, is Vernon Forrest. Vernon the Viper Forrest, man, he passed away. Of course, he got shot. Here's a good thing. Not to do. Good thing not to do. You don't chase somebody if they've got a gun. Especially if you think you got a gun. I don't know. Guns don't work. The bottom line is, you know, he was a fist fighter. I'm talking about Vernon Forrest, okay? Living in Atlanta, Georgia, outside of Atlanta. And the bottom line is he got into some type of scrape at the gas station. Somebody tried to pull a scam on him at the gas station, and he pulled out his gun, and they shot him to death. Bottom line is, you don't play with guns, man. Guns are not to be messed with, no doubt about that. But the rap on Vernon Forrest was, you know, he lost to Mayorga. I mean, he got lit up by Mayorga. He lost to Sergio Mora the last time, but he got lit up twice by Mayorga. The first time it was a TKO. And, of course, I was at the weigh-in, and he never let me. Listen, he died, I guess, about 10 or 15 years ago. But he never let me. Vernon never let me forget. I mean, he blamed me for Ricardo Mayorga flicking a cigarette in his face. And I didn't tell him to flick the cigarette in his face. I had nothing. I didn't know he was going to flick a cigarette in his face. But what happened was he flicked a cigarette in his face. Okay, they were at the weigh-in, and they were about to get weighed in. Mayorga had a cigarette in his mouth, and from Nicaragua, the Nicaraguan thug or whatever he was, he thought he tried to portray himself as some type of thug, some type of street guy. Anyway, he flicked a cigarette at Vernon's face, and it hit Vernon in the face, and I started laughing. I thought it was the funniest spit with an H I ever saw in my life. I mean, I thought, come on, man. I was like rolling, okay? Vernon never forgot that. I guess so, 2 or 3 months before he died, he cornered me in one of the shops of Caesar's Palace. Didn't corner me per se, but he lit me up verbally a little bit. I said, what, man? You still mad about that? Come on, how can you be mad about that? But he did. And of course, he lost the 2 fights to Vernon, to Ricardo Moraga. Outside of that, he only lost to Sergio Mora. Of course, Sergio Mora won the Contender TV show. Now, another guy celebrating this month, of course, is Arturo Gatti. Man, all these guys with controversial deaths. Of course, Arguello, now Arturo Gatti. Of course, 40-9, got stopped 5 times, 31 KOs. Of course, he was the guy that I saw his last fight, and it was sad. Of course, he took on Alfonso Gomez. Gomez, of course, also being of the Contender TV show fame. But the bottom line is, that was July 14, 2007. It was a sad day in Atlantic City. And get this, it was a sad day in Atlantic City. And get there, hey, Daniel, get this one. I'm driving a car in Atlantic City, and Gotti's got all these chicks. I want to call them broads, bimbos, whatever you want to. He's got all these chicks hanging out in front of his club, right? Because Gotti's going to go in, and I rear-ended the car in front of me. All right? You got that, folks? I'm driving along, looking at these chicks, being all cool. Bam! Ran into the car in front of me. Caused a little bit of damage. By the way, that's what kind of player I'm not. Not. Guess what kind of player I am? Not. I mean, that was like, good Lord, was that humbling. Anyway, Arturo Gatti, the king of Atlantic City, know about that. Of course, pound for pound, one of the toughest guys that ever boxed. There was no doubt about it. The fights with Mickey Ward, although a lot of you really got off on those fights with Mickey Ward, to me, they weren't good. And the reason why I say they weren't good is I don't like seeing guys do that caveman stuff. And guys all beat up. I'm not into that. I mean, I'm not trying to say I want to see a boxing match like Devin Haney, you know, just boxing without any punches or anything like that. But the bottom line is, I'm not into watching those kind of wars. I thought the wars between those two guys, Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti, were just career changing. And of course, one point in time, there's video of both these guys in the emergency room together. One's in one bed and one's in the other, side by side in the same hospital. I kid you not. That's how much they left of themselves in the ring. Of course, Mickey Ward seems to be somewhat articulate in these days. Of course, now Arturo Gatti, controversy in his death. He was living in Brazil, or at the time he was living in Brazil, I believe, with his Brazilian wife. And, you know, she gets a bad rap because at first she was arrested for murder. Yeah, they arrested her for murder. But then they sort of figured out, you know, he sort of killed himself. I mean, the guy was depressed. Another guy with split personalities. I mean, when I was around Arturo Gatti was always a fun-loving guy, blah, 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 blah. Then a couple times I saw him, like at the Hall of Fame, this and that, didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. In other words, the absolute personality change from the other time. I mean, so another one of those guys, a lot of these boxers, Tappy was the best, so Tappy had like 19 personalities. But yeah, Arturo Gatti, he went back and forth. Of course, the damage he took, I thought, was inhuman. It just was. The damage he took was inhuman. And, I mean, he took in bad beatings from Ivan Robinson, guys like that. I mean, not only the Ward fights, but all those fights he had was tough. And, of course, when I saw him in his highlight sort of fight as far as stepping up, as far as meeting talent was concerned. Of course, he took on Floyd Mayweather and got lit up like the White House Christmas tree in Atlantic City. I remember that day Bob Arum screaming about me being in the audience, but I got in, didn't I, Bob? At the end of the day, you know, you got to give Gatti all kinds of credit for his guts and skill, but he killed himself. Guess what? He had a drinking problem. Surprise? No, not really. Because every time I saw him, when he wasn't fighting, he was drinking. Like Daniel. I mean, he was always drinking. Every time I saw him, you know, boozing up, man. I mean, here's what, he's got booze in his car. Anyway, Gatti, that was every time I saw him. Every time I saw him when he wasn't officially attached to a boxing match or a press conference, something like that, he had a drink or a beer in his hand. He was just one of those guys that got off on liquid calories, okay? No doubt about that. Now, what went down there in Brazil is it appears that he hung himself off a doorknob. He hung himself, like, you know, like a shoelace or something like that. I forget what it was. Anyway, but the bottom line is he did hang himself. And the reason why I know this is that his brother, Arturo Gatti's brother, came out and said, guess what? Don't blame my sister-in-law. My brother killed himself. And when he said that, Joe Gatti, that was enough for me. There was just absolutely no doubt in my mind that, you know, I mean, because, you know, me being the conspiracy guy, I mean, a bit of a police officer, ex-police officer, and current investigator, I can look at a lot of things and see conspiracies. But then again, there's no such thing as coincidences in criminal science. And the bottom line is Arturo Gatti hung himself, and that was the end of that. And, of course, we wish his family the best. And they are now living in Canada. He brought his, I think he had a daughter from this lady. Of course, she was a former stripper, and that was her claim to fame, that she was a stripper, but that doesn't mean she's a bad girl. You know, of course, there's a thin line between stripping and hooking. Believe me, I know that as a cop, but Daniel's laughing in the other room. How do you know? He's another one like Socrates Palmer playing stupid and Tommy D playing stupid. Anyway, Gatti, hung himself. And of course, at the end of the day, I think that was the due to the fact that, you know, the pugilist dementia, the CTE, the chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I mean, if ever there was a candidate for brain damage, you don't think it was Arturo Gatti? I mean, think about all the beatings he took. He took those, as you know, the back to the Mickey Ward things. That's sort of like the Flintstones. You remember when the Flintstones, they like back in the Stone Age, they got clubs and they were hitting each other with clubs and stuff. And it was a cartoon, so, you know, nobody died. But guess what? In real boxing, when you get hit like that, there are some, you either pay now or you pay later. Either you get dropped then or you get hurt then or at that point in time or you pay later. And a lot of these guys, I see them paying later, no doubt about that. Arturo Gatti, may he rest in peace. Now, a guy that... Oh, God, I'm going to date myself here. 1984 Olympic Trials, Western Olympic Trials. I am in Colorado Springs. I lost the decision to Vincent Webb, who was ranked number 9 at the time. Anyway, I'm in a hot tub, and there's Mike Tyson's there, and Michael Nunn's there, and Pernell Whitaker's there, a couple other guys. I didn't belong with these guys. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, yeah. Plus, I was brown. I said, I didn't belong with these guys, I don't mean because I was brown. I meant because the talent was. I mean, you know, I won a few Golden Gloves, but I wasn't this upper. I wasn't like the top five. I was nah. Anyway, bottom line is Michael Nunn's there, Mike Tyson's there, Pernell Whitaker's there. I can't remember who else right now, but the bottom line is, Michael Nunn and Mike Tyson were going back and forth, you know, and they were capping on each other. And then some guys were, you know, laughing, this and that, playing. Like, I knew your mama when she was riding skateboards and this, things like that, right? Well, Mike Tyson said to Michael Nunn, I knew your mama when she was hoeing. Well, that didn't go over well at all. Of course, Michael Nunn got up and walked across the hot tub and told Mike Tyson, get the F up right now. Let's go, MF, let's go, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Michael Nunn, 160 pounds, dripping wet at that point in time, okay, and called Mike Tyson out. And Mike Tyson wasn't moving. So I said to myself, this guy's supposed to be the monster of all monsters. He's not moving. What's going on here with Mike Tyson? Anyway, bottom line is, I took that to note. And, of course, later in life, when somebody finally stood up to Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas first, and, of course, other guys later, but the bottom line is, if you weren't scared of Mike Tyson, you had a decent chance on getting in the fight. Now, back to my boy, Pernell Whitaker. Of course, a world champion at 135, 140, 147, I think at 154 as well. Of course, 40-4, one stoppage, of course, the 17 KOs. The bottom line is, he wasn't a big puncher. He was a smooth boxer, the smoothest there ever was, no doubt about that. But, you know, I think when he gave him the screw jobs against Julio Cesar Chavez, listen, the boxing media, Pernell had a coke problem. And I don't mean Coca-Cola liquid. I mean Coca-Cola like up your nose Coca-Cola. He had a coke problem. I mean, it was like the worst kept secret in all of boxing. Maybe the second worst kept secret, but it was everybody knew. Okay, everybody knew. Every time I saw him at the Meldrick Taylor fight after Meldrick got stopped by Julio Cesar Chavez in that 12th round, when Richard Steele called that controversial stoppage. Of course, I saw him there, and he was 90 miles an hour, like 15 feet off the ground. I kid you not. So anyway, Pernell did his share of blow. Last time I saw him in Atlantic City, he had a few drinks and he was acting a fool. And this and that. I said to myself, you know what's happening here? Well, what happened was that Pernell was an alcoholic from the get go. When he was training in those days for those big fights, guys used to spar with him and tell me, I can smell booze on Pernell. I go, come on, man, you got to be kidding me. So I didn't believe it. But when more than one guy told me, I said to myself, there has to be some merit to this. And it turns out that Pernell was a functioning alcoholic as a professional boxer. But in 1993, was it 93? When they screwed him, of course, in Texas against Julio Cesar Chavez. They called it a draw for 12 rounds. He licked Chavez like a stamp. In fact, I bet with NFL Hall of Famer Jack Tatum, number 32, the man they call Assassin from the Oakland Raiders, I bet the fight with him, and I bet on Chavez. So after 10 rounds, I just went over and gave my money to him. I said, Jack, you know, you won. So when they called it a draw, when got my money back, he said, I can't believe you think you get your money back. But the bottom line is, it's a draw, man. He didn't beat the point spread. Since this was football, it'd be a point spread. But the bottom line is, this fight was a draw and it wasn't a win for Pernell Whitaker, as well it should have been. And of course, and then he fought Oscar De La Hoya in 1997. And you talk about this. I mean, I thought he easily won this fight, easily won it, and yet he lost unanimous nod across the board. Get this. This is the boxing establishment making sure the guy that reeks of booze once in a while at weigh-ins and this and that, and they're making sure he's not going to get the crack at the great time more. 115-111 was one scorecard, 116-110, and 116-110. Of course, I talk about Dolby Shirley and Jerry Roth. I think Jerry Roth's still active, but the bottom line is Mills Lane was the referee. Even Mills told me that he thought Pernell won that fight. Mills told me that. Mills was my broadcast partner. May he rest in peace. But the bottom line is he thought that he won this fight. Of course, and when Pernell, at the end of the day, of course, he died a few years ago. He walked out in front of a car drunk. I mean, So it was booze. He was a functioning alcoholic. I can't say that 10 times. Can't say it once. He was a functioning alcoholic at one point in time, and then he was a non-functioning alcoholic, and that's what led to his death. Bottom line is, may he rest in peace, one of the great lightweights of all time, Mr. Pennell Whitaker.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Check it. The young men I mentioned earlier with the aforementioned foursome of greatness, Alexis Arguello, Arturo Gatti, Vernon Forrest, of course, and Pernell Whitaker. Arguello was July 1st. That was his birthday, and he died in 2009. Arturo Gatti was July the 11th. He died in 2009. Vernon Forrest died July 25th in 2009 as well. Three guys in 2009. Of course, Pernell Whitaker passed in 2019 on July 14th. May all four rest in peace. Now, tonight's boxing card, of course, ESPN's got the unbeaten 2016 Olympic silver medalist, Shakur Stevenson, taking on Artur Haritum. But the bottom line is Haritum has two chances, slim and none, supposedly, and Slim's out of town. This is supposed to be a showcase fight to get Shakur back in the mainstay. This is supposed to be a fight that's going to make people look at him again. Bottom line is good luck on that one. WBC lightweight title on the line. And the co-feature of Shooky Foster taking on Robinson Canseco. Canseco is a former... Canseco got the shaft. I think he won the 2012 or 2016 Olympic gold medal for Brazil. But the bottom line is he got the shaft in a fight with Oscar Valdez a couple of years ago, and I don't know if he can ever recovered that peak, but it is for the WBC super lightweight title. Of course, that's July the 6th. Of course, also on July the 6th, the undefeated over on, that's on ESPN. On DAZN, William Cepeda taking on once-beaten Giovanni Cabrera. Of course, Cepeda's a hot dog here at 135 pounds. I think that he's a guy he can crack. We'll see what happens here. I'd like to see Cepeda win and maybe make a statement in 135, because 135 at one point in time was the division. Now, maybe not so much. Everybody's going in different directions. And Gervonta Davis, is he a lightweight or not? Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Daniel Ogden on the other side of the board. And, of course, I want to thank the people down there in Dallas, Texas for VTV. And, of course, Darren Peck and the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. This has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide.